Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is Mr. Beck.
Mysterio?
You can call me Quentin. We could use someone like you on my world.
I'm sorry, your world?
There are multiple realities, Peter. This is Earth, Dimension 616. I'm from Earth 833. We share identical physical constants, level 4 symmetry.
I'm sorry, you're saying there's a multiverse? Because I thought that was just theoretical. I mean, that completely changes how we understand the initial singularity. It's insane. Sorry.
So nice to finally meet you, Spider-Man.
You're Nick Fury.
Put some clothes on. Let's go for a ride.
I think Nick Fury just hijacked our summer vacation.
Awesome! We got gifts, Parker, but we have a job to do. Are you going to step up or not?
You're all alone. Your friends are in trouble. What are you gonna do about it?
You don't want any part of this.
What's up, geeks? I am Mike, and this is our spoiler review for the 23rd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Spider-Man Far From Home. And for an event like this, we're gonna have to go to our bench and bring in a guest for the podcast for the first time. He is the head of Geek Vibes Nation, for someone that we are an affiliate with now, and he is the youngest person on this episode, so sorry about that, Danny. What's up, Juwan?
What's going on? I'm glad to be here. Thank you both.
Hey, we are happy to have you. And joining me, as always, is the man who needs no help finding his Danny tingle. What's up, Danny?
I think you're going to go there. God damn. I'm good. What's up, Mike?
All just having a good time. You know, every time there's a Spider-Man movie coming out, by the way, this is from my 7-year-old. He said, what movie you got? What are you guys going to talk about? And I told him that Spider-Man movie we went and saw yesterday. He's like, oh, here, use this. And he said he was going to go put on his Miles Morales costume and jump in and do a cameo for you. But we'll see if that happens or not. But yeah, we all saw the movie over the weekend. I think, John, I think you actually saw it like earlier, huh? Didn't you get to see a press screening?
No, I actually didn't. I will not lie. I didn't. I saw it Tuesday, I think. Yeah, I Monday night or Sunday. Tuesday.
I didn't see it until Sunday, so thank you guys for not spoiling anything for me. But you know,
absolutely.
We like to usually do Sunday because that's when we usually try to do reviews, but you know, we couldn't get our schedules to work out, stuff like that. But you know, hey, back so soon after Endgame kind of sucked all the life out of the box office, you know, I did think it was quite fast to have another MCU film so soon. But what do I know? 5-day haul for this, $185 million. Like I said, all three of us donated towards that tally, and we're going to talk about it now. So just a warning, guys, if you have not seen the movie yet, this will be full of spoilers. However, we do start off usually with a quick, like, you know, mini review with non-spoiler thoughts just about how we felt about the movie overall. So as tradition dictates, guests always go first. So Juwan, non-spoiler thoughts. How'd you feel about Spider-Man Far From Home?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good way to kind of give us the end of not only, you know, from where we left off with Endgame, but the end of this, what do you call it? The
Phase 3?
Phase, yes. The end of this phase. Very well done. John Watts, I thought, did an amazing job. Tom Holland brought it. He really, really, really brought it. The emotion is the biggest thing I have to give him credit for. But yeah, this is just a super fun movie. And Jake Gyllenhaal, man, that guy lives up to his hype. And he delivered as well.
Indeed. I don't think I've ever seen a poor performance. Well, let's not count Prince of Persia, but I don't think I've ever seen a poor performance from Jake Gyllenhaal, because that dude is constant. That's why when they were talking about he could be the next Batman, I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, Danny, what'd you think, buddy?
I guess for me, it's probably my second favorite Spider-Man film.
Behind Spider-Verse?
Behind Into the Spider-Verse, of course. For me, the story worked. The story worked better than any other Spider-Man movie because you have a lot of meaty thoughts, meaty angles into this. You have who's the next Iron Man? Where does the MCU go from here? Are people tired of superheroes? Are people willing to believe anything that they see? It works on a very superhero level. It works on a very meta level. And I mean, I love movies like that, that you can look at and you can get high and low with it. And you can put a kid in front of it, put a kid in front of the screen. He's going to be happy with it. You're going to put me in front of the screen. I can be happy with it. And I can think about it. Tom Holland, I was just watching Captain America Civil War, his first appearance as Spider-Man. He has grown into the role and he owns the role. He is by far the best on-screen Spider-Man I think we've ever seen, both as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Jake Gyllenhaal, in both parts of the movie, he was fantastic. You guys have already said it. I won't belabor it. I like that they toned down Ned quite a bit. He's not as involved because this is truly a Spider-Man film, and that Tom Holland, as we talked about in our Endgame review, he is the face of the MCU now, whether he likes it or not.
Well, me being the amazing Spider-Man fan, it was great to finally see Mysterio, finally see this villain on screen. And they didn't, like, if this had been made during the Tobey Maguire, I don't know if it would have looked quite as faithful as it looked. We probably wouldn't have got the fishbowl. I was happy with that. Obviously, Gyllenhaal is always awesome. But I'm going to agree with you on Tom Holland. I would still say to this day that Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2 is still my favorite Spider-Man movie, but Tom Holland is my favorite Peter Parker. He really is. And I think he's just gotten better each time. We've talked about how his superhero power is making us cry. He didn't get me in this one, but it was close. I'll say it was close. I don't have really much to say else except I was really happy with the movie. I do not like what everybody's going to say about this. I don't like the cast around him. I liked Happy, of course. Of course, I like Nick Fury and Maria, even if it wasn't them. I don't care for Ned. I don't care for the teacher's character. Wasn't he in the first one, too? The same teacher? Wasn't that the same teacher? First? I was like, dude. Yeah. And y'all going to say whatever you want, but that's not my MJ. Whatever. there's a little bit of old guard there, but I'm happy with it mostly. It was much, much better than Homecoming. I'm not ready to put it. I think every time an MCU movie comes out, everybody's like, oh, that's like the second best MCU movie or something like that. I might just be burned out on solo movies at this point to where I'm like, it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's anything I'm ever going to be like, hey, I'm going to watch an MCU movie. I'm going to put them Far From Home. I don't think I'll ever get to that point. But I did have a good time with it. Really, really good.
I think it's important to note that over the past 16 months, Spider-Man as a character stole the show in Endgame and in Infinity War with the ability to make us cry, has a killer video game, the PS4 game. And then you look at Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and then, of course, the $185 million debut here. I think it's safe to say Spider-Man has truly elevated himself as far as the superheroes go. And possibly, I mean, we'll see how you react to this sentence, Mike, on the Batman level.
Oh, well, I've always said that the three most popular characters, no matter what I say, recent history, you got Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. That's always been the top three. So if you just shuffle those around any way you want, I don't think anyone's ever going to quite get the Batman. But if there is, I would say he's past Superman at this point, probably, just because when was the last time we had a great Superman movie? Shut up. I love Man of Steel. But, you know, it's like six, 7 years ago now, you know?
Yeah.
So, I could definitely see that. And like you said, look at Spider-Verse. I'm someone who is like, get that Miles Morales trash out of here. Now I'm like, hey, you know, I can't wait to see what they do next. So, yeah, two good Spider-Man movies in 1 year. Always sign me up. Sign me up for sure. Okay, so we're going to get into spoilers now, guys. So if you haven't watched yet, please bookmark the video. Come back later because it'll be worth it. I know, unless you're like Danny and you don't care and you're like, bring on all the spoilers. I don't care. Bring them on. You know, I know you youngsters. Juwan, are you the same way? Are you like full spoilers?
It depends. It depends. I will say I had, because we do screeners often. So when Kanan saw Infinity War, I did have him reveal to me who died. Oh, and then when I saw it, there was like no emotion because I had already known. So like from then on, I'm like, no more for movies like this. I don't want to be spoiled. I want to go into it and feel it. But usually, yes, I am very big on just give me the spoilers. Like, if I can save money, give me the spoilers. And if I think it's worth it, I'll go see it.
If it's something I'm really into, like, well, it used to be Star Wars, but, you know, or the MCU, something like that. No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. If it's something like Dark Phoenix that I'm not going to go see, sure, let me read what's so terrible about it. I don't know. It must be a younger people thing, because I'm like, no, keep spoilers away from stuff that I really don't want to know about.
See, I'm the film student here. I know the beats, like I can guess the beats more or less, especially with the trailers for this movie, which released pretty much everything.
I'm glad I didn't watch the final trailer.
I just want to know what beats are going to happen. That way I can see the journey to those beats and if it makes sense. There are some movies and shows that use plot twist as like a crutch. And you and I've talked about that. I'm just never a fan of that. If it doesn't line up and it doesn't make sense on the way to that journey, that endpoint.
So the first scene in the movie, basically, I do feel like we got this in the trailer where Quentin Beck shows up and you don't want none of this, you know, and cool. So we're going to see the elementals. We already knew this again. We knew that we're going to be getting the elementals. I was still like, what did Samuel L. Jackson do before MCU movies? Because he's in like every freaking one of them now. He used to be pop up once in a while. Now he's in every single one of them. So, hey, cool. Neat enough intro, I guess. And then it goes into like this clip show that I could have made on my cell phone better. This little, maybe it's something that a high school kid would make. It was pretty funny, you know, with Whitney Houston and stuff. And I was already singing it to my kid. And he was like, stop, in the theater. So I was going full on dad jokes with him. It was a good old time. But I did like how they explained the whole blip. I like the name, the blip. That's a good way to reference it. Been basically talking about how they had to start over the school year so everybody could catch up. But I like the idea, like with Brad, where he disappeared and then he comes back and, you know, he's all older or whatever. It's a neat little wrinkle that I think they could play with some time, something like that. But this whole first opening act-ish, whatever, anything really stand out to anybody? Juwan?
Like you said, the blip, that stood out to me. You starting it with Mysterio. With something I've seen it twice now and I still feel like I wouldn't have started with that. I would have had that kind of connect all into each other. I would have started with the farewell to the Avengers, which by the way, Cap was in that montage. They do know Cap didn't die, right? Like he's just,
I don't know. I think maybe Falcon and Bucky kind of kept it to themselves, kept it on the DL that he just didn't come back.
Oh, so they, okay. So people think he died. Okay. Well, him and Vision aren't dead, so relax, people. It was a good way to start it. You know, seeing the blip and then seeing the marching band just reappear.
That was hilarious. I love that.
So much fun. And then to see that, obviously, the school, the kids, rather, had put it together. It kind of made sense because I was like, this is really bad. And then, like, you see Getty images on one of the things. I was like, this is really, really, really bad. And then you see Betty Brant, you're kind of like, oh, okay, the kids put this together. So after seeing that, I was like, all right, I'm not going to judge.
I didn't catch the Getty images. That's perfect.
Yeah, it literally said on one of the photos. I'm trying to remember whose photo. I think it might have been Stark.
Thank you. It was Stark.
It said Getty images, and I was just like, these guys, come on. In 2019, really?
See, that was one of the problems I had with Homecoming is I felt like they were trying so hard to make it like an 80s movie that they kept doing – I was like, give me something, you young whippersnappers like, you young bucks. What do you guys like? So I did like that they kind of made it feel a little more like that. Like high school for this generation, that's what I needed in this, even if I didn't understand it.
I ultimately didn't really understand it either. High school has drastically changed since I graduated.
Like last week? Or
Yeah.
So, Danny, did you like the scariest found footage movie ever? I like it. It was like a terrifying seeing people disappear, but then hilarious showing them reappear.
Oh, yeah. No, this was the funniest part of the movie for me. And when the Getty images popped up on screen, my entire theater just erupted. It was the funniest thing that we'd all ever seen. I'm with Juwan. I don't know that I would have started the movie with Quentin Beck. Like, it just felt a little disjointed, a little weird. I'd rather have him show up mysteriously down the road, like
see what you did
one of the, yeah, one of those elementals pop up for the first time. But here I didn't need it. Here I wanted to see what the world looked like post blip, I guess we're calling it, not post snap anymore. And I got a little bit of it. I still wanted more of it. I still wanted to see, you know, more confusion, more scenes of like the kid freaking out, like, where are the Avengers at now? What are we going to do if this happens again? I kind of like seeing the world on edge there and everyone essentially looking for the next Iron Man.
You know, something that annoys me is that every one of these solo movies, we're going to have an explanation about where all the other Avengers are and why they can't show up in the solo movie.
I think that is good, though, because I remember when I went to see Silver Surfer in theaters.
Sorry. They were in, did you get your money back?
To be fair, I enjoyed the first one, so at that time I was really hyped to see the second one. And I will still say Silver Surfer was dope. The rest of the movie you could throw away, but Silver Surfer was dope. Yeah. Everyone kept saying, like, because they were in New York, you know, for a little bit of that movie, like, well, where, you know, where are the X-Men or where is Spider-Man? And it's kind of like, no, that doesn't exist here. So it is good sometimes to kind of say, because it would be hard to believe with all this stuff happening in this movie that no Avenger decided to say, like, hey, you need some help, Peter. So it's good to kind of get out of people who aren't fans of the comics, who are just general watchers. It's good to get them out of the headspace of don't think, you know, someone's going to show up and help Peter. This is about Peter saving the day on his own.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. It's just going to get obnoxious when it's like the sixth straight solo movie. I'm like, oh, they're all doing this right now. They're all having trauma or something like that. So let's see here. So everyone's behind on academics. So what do? We're going to have us a 2-week trip to Europe. You know, why not? Makes sense to me. But obviously, Peter still tore up over Tony's death. You know, we talked about the trailer where you just see how tore up he is about it. I don't care about the whole him and MJ thing, like I said, because that's not my MJ. So you guys can talk about that if you really care to. I think that she's good in the role if she was just Michelle, whatever, not Mary Jane, but whatever.
See, I kind of like that scene with the plan. That made me laugh because I can relate to Peter Parker. Sure. Me in high school. Yeah, 100%.
I feel like you could hand Tom Holland like episode one Star Wars bad lines and he would nail them.
No,
I feel like he would nail them.
No one could do that.
I feel like he's good enough to land though. It's still going to be a terrible Nathan Drake. But hey, it's not his fault. But I will say that my biggest surprise of this movie was I was like, do I really need more Happy Hogan?
Yes.
I liked him a lot in this movie. Yeah. I liked him a whole lot in this movie. And I don't know if it's because of that stupid cheeseburger line that got me in the last movie. But I don't know. I enjoyed him in this. Don't really care. I love Marissa Tomei. I grew up idolizing and fantasizing over that woman. Don't get me wrong. Horrible Aunt May. I don't even understand that decision. But I do like Happy and especially Happy and Peter interacting in this movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. He really does seem like if Tony was his playboy uncle, this is his drunk uncle for sure.
I like Happy in this and I like it because Happy is the voice of Tony Stark here. This whole movie, as much as this is a Spider-Man movie, this is the cloud of Tony hangs over the entire movie. That I can't remember 5 minutes going by without seeing an image of
Iron Man. I loved all the murals and stuff all over the world. That was really cool. I liked it.
But I mean, Happy's whole point is at the end of the movie where he gives that speech to Peter and he's just like, hey, the only thing he's sure about is you. And he is that voice of centering Spider-Man. And I've seen people debate back and forth of like, hey, what about Uncle Ben? What about Uncle Ben? Forget about Uncle Ben. Like
his initials were on the suitcase there. There's your Uncle Ben there.
I mean, I love the Uncle Ben angle as much as anybody else, but this is Tony and Peter. That's what they've set up since Civil War.
No, I'm not gonna lie, storyline here. But on the sunglasses, I thought for sure it was going to be a message from Tony giving him the great power comes great responsibility speech. I really thought it was coming and I'm still not sure it won't.
Well, you could ultimately say that Tony's version of it was when Fury told him, and I'm paraphrasing here, heavy is the head that wears the crown, which was like a version, right, which is like a version of, you know, with great power. But you can kind of gather that Peter already had that conversation. If you remember the conversation in Civil War, he sounded like a kid who had that conversation with his uncle. Before his passing, where he told him, you know, maybe not when he had powers or anything, but just told him, like, just remember, with great power comes great responsibility, because Peter sounded in Civil War burdened. This is a kid who hadn't, you know, even seen what he's seen since then, but he just sounded burdened, as if he knew that he had to do something with these powers, because if he let something happen, knowing that he could have stopped it, it was on him. So it sounds like he had already had that pep talk. Here's the thing. I don't need it from Tony. We know that Tony is in place of Uncle Ben. Him dying and us seeing that long relationship form between the two of them, that's really it. I don't need anything else. Happy to me was very important because, you know, as you said, he was the voice of Stark, but to me, he's also a continuation of Stark. Like, if we never see Robert Downey Jr. again, we feel as though we have him still with Happy. Since we'll probably never see Pepper again because she can't even remember what movies she was in. So if Happy is our linchpin that connects us and makes us still remember Tony, I'm fine with it. And I think him kind of being the guy to help out Peter is great. I don't get, Mike, how you don't like Marissa Tomei's Aunt May. I think it's modern. I think she's hilarious. I think throwing the banana at his head and then coming up with Peter Tingle was hilarious. I just think it's a more modern take. I originally wanted someone older, but it fits. It fits for the age that Peter's at. And I loved the running joke of his hot aunt. Like, usually we're used to seeing this old lady and we're like, ew, now he has the hot aunt. This is hilarious.
You're already changing Mary Jane. Don't change Aunt May too. All right, look. Let me say this is just one of my old guard things. This is like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor for me.
What?
Change for change's sake. I don't get it.
I did want to say, Mike, if we ever do get to talk to John Watts, I do want to know the whole Mary Jane situation. I was talking to Joelle about this. I am curious who was more nervous about it, Sony or Marvel, because one of them decided they wanted to make Mary Jane black, right? And then the other side was kind of hesitant. That's why they were like, all right, we'll meet in the middle. We'll make her black, call her MJ, but she's not Mary Jane. And that to me is so confusing. So what I came to the conclusion of is she is Mary Jane. I think in the third movie, we will find out more about her past and her parents are somebody. And she changed her name to Michelle Jones. But she is actually Mary Jane. If they don't go that route, this was all a waste because you could have just made a brand new character for Peter to fall in love with.
I would have been fine with that. To me, it's just I'm married to a redhead. I'm crazy about redheads. I'm going to fight for ginger rights until I die, guys. So that's what it is. Even like the Ariel thing. I don't care as long as she's got red hair. So give Zendaya red hair. You know what the thing was, like, everybody's seen these pictures of Zendaya lately with the red hair? It turns out that's for Dune. It's like, so she could dye her hair red for Dune, but she can't dye her hair red for Spider-Man? Come on.
I will say, because Juwan brought it up, I don't know if this is a wish or a prediction, but I predict we will see Robert Downey Jr. one more time in the MCU. In about 5 to 10 years, when they kill Peter Parker,
stop it.
He will take the place in that ultimate comic scene at the end where Uncle Ben walks him into the light. Robert Downey Jr. Give me that. I will cry my eyes out and I will pay all of the money.
He brings this up about once every 6 episodes.
It's a beautiful scene. It's beautiful.
It's like his favorite comic book ever or some shit.
It really is.
See, the funny thing about that is I'm somewhat with you because I think we will see Downey again, but I think it'll be for an event film. It'll either be X-Men versus the Avengers or Galactus, because I don't think you want to bring him back any sooner than that. You want these new Avengers to have to get through. They should get through Secret Invasion themselves. So it kind of is like they're more comfortable being Avengers now. So they don't feel the need of like, man, I wish Cap was here. Man, I wish Tony was here. So it makes it even cooler when we see the X-Men come out and then it's like X-Men versus Avengers and then Robert Downey Jr. is back for that. Or you hold off and you bring him and Cap back for Galactus.
You could always just use this barf thing they've set up. Barf, which is hilarious, by the way. We call it barf. You could always use that. Have Robert Downey Jr. in there and have perfectly. It's not a jump in the shark moment.
I will just say, Mike, Death of Spider-Man for me is Death of Superman for the older guard.
I get it. I get it. No, dude, I get it. I get why you like it. You know what? I will defend your right to want it to stay like the comics until I die, okay? One more thing about Happy before I move on. I will say that he got the biggest snipple when he was giving him the speech about, you know, Tony questioning himself every single day. And he also got the biggest laugh when he threw the shield because you knew he was going to reference Captain America. And I was crying before the shield hit the ground. So you knew it was coming. And the halberd thing. That's a halberd.
to your point, I will say, because I'm with you, this movie tried really hard to get you to cry, like beginning to end. The only time I cried, and it had nothing necessarily to do with the scene, it was what it truly meant to me, was seeing Peter kind of put his hand in the hologram, and then it was like a callback to the first Iron Man when you saw Tony put his hand in. I started to cry only because at that moment I realized we may never see Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man ever again. And this is the testament of passing the torch. And to know that, you know, we might not ever see Iron Man again just really hit me. And I was like, man, I should have appreciated Iron Man 3 more than I did.
You guys are all like super sad about Iron Man now, but I'm old enough to remember when you guys were all Team Cap. Yeah. I'm
still Team Cap.
Iron Man forever, baby.
Iron Man forever. I was never Team Cap.
So let's talk about this should have been the introduction for Mysterio where he shows up and kicks his thing ass. It looked awesome. You know, I will complain about the CG in these movies forever. It looked awesome. All the Mysterio stuff I thought looked awesome, really. And I love the way that, I mean, my kid didn't get it. He's like, oh, he's a good guy. And I'm sitting there like, you dumb bastard. So I'm like, just wait, buddy. So, I mean, obviously us smart marks, like we're like with his wrestling or something, we all knew it was coming. But I thought if you didn't know anything about this character, I thought they did a really, really good job of keeping this a secret. And so the worst part of this movie, I'll say it, was Mysterio's big exposition scene for 6 minutes about how all this happened. It was really cool seeing the guy back from, Tony Stark made this in a cage with scrap parts, whatever. He's like, I'm not Tony Stark. But other than that, I was like, this is going on really, really long. I feel like everybody knows why they're there. I don't think you have to tell them why they're there. And it just, I don't know, exposition went a little long for me, but it didn't ruin anything. But overall, Mysterio, very happy. Gyllenhaal, obviously awesome. I can't believe that this was the role that he finally decided to do one of these movies for. But I'm glad he did, because besides Carnage, this is probably the Spider-Man villain I wanted to see on screen for the longest time. I will say at one time it was Electro, and we saw how that turned out. So I don't need to see Electro like ever again, honestly. In fact, you can just give him this version of the Sinister Six, and I'm okay with it. But I don't understand why they killed him. We said that last one. What's great about this is Sinister Six keeps sending him to the raft. You know, you don't have to kill him, so we can do Sinister Six one day. Why'd they have to kill him? Or was that an illusion too?
See, that's how I looked at it. I looked at it from two angles. If you guys remember when, God, I can't believe I can't remember his name. David Ayer was casting for Joker. Jake Gyllenhaal was the guy he wanted. Jake Gyllenhaal came out and was like, I'll do it, but just know, like, between him and Ryan Gosling, they were like, I only do it for one film. Like, don't try to sign me for five movies. So when I heard that he signed with Marvel, my first thought was it either has to be conditional or it has to be he just wants one movie. So if you're Marvel, here's where you save yourself if he does indeed want to come back. What you could do is when Peter gave him the glasses at the bar, he gave all control to Mysterio. So once Mysterio was defeated, he then took the glasses back and still had control. I think that was an illusion. I think the illusion was for Spider-Man to think that, oh, I saved the day, Mysterio's dead. But maybe that's what Mysterio wanted him to think. And I think the fact that that is a possibility leaves the opening for you to do Sinister Six. But I can almost guarantee you guys, Spider-Man 3 will not be Sinister Six. It will I think they will do it. I think either Sony will want to do it on their own, or Feige might just do a Spider-Man event film. Yeah, no, very true. But I think Feige might do a Spider-Man event film. to where he brings all these guys together to take on Spider-Man. It'll be titled Sinister Six, but it's not like a Spider-Man 3 or Spider-Man 4. So, I mean, you left yourself some room with this Mysterio angle, because I find it hard to believe that if their plan is Sinister Six, you just killed Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, why would you waste that card?
Yeah, and even if he said he didn't want to come back, you got to don't kill him. Maybe he'll change his mind. You know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, who's to say that he, I mean, even though he's dead, who's to say that he won't come back? I mean, the great thing about the Mysterio suit is that it still exists. The fishbowl is still there. And for me, someone like me, you don't introduce random scientists from Iron Man 1 all the way back in the day if you don't have plans for him moving forward. So maybe this guy becomes Mysterio, but brings a Jake Gyllenhaal illusion to life to really mess with Peter Parker. Because that's, to me, that was the best part of the movie, is that Mysterio messing with Peter Parker scene, and then seeing how it affected Peter. Like, I think people tend to forget that, done right, Mysterio, the power, the illusions, all that, that's dangerous. That is something that can really mess with a person's head. And what would mess with Peter's head more than seeing reanimated Jake Gyllenhaal, the guy who outed him as Spider-Man and ruined his life?
Reanimated Iron Man was fucking scary, though. I'll say that. That was creepy. Like, my kid actually covered his eyes, so that was pretty...
Yeah, that did catch me off guard. I was like, ooh, yikes.
The part that made me, as a Amazing Spider-Man fan, just geek out the most was two things. A mention of Earth 616, and I thought, oh shit, they're actually going to go with this, which turned out to be bunk. But where Peter just full-on starts talking science dork. I was so excited. I was like, this is the character I feel like I've been missing. That this kid is super freaking smart. So yeah, if they wanted him to go the Tony Stark route, obviously they're going to start showing, you know, his brains a little more than his action stuff. So I am kind of bummed out that they're not doing the alternate realities thing. At least I assume that he was lying about all that. He was lying about everything else. I assume he was lying about not being from Earth or our Earth. So anybody else get anything out of that? Am I just being a big dork here?
No, I mean, it was, you're right, but as I was telling everyone when we had left the showing of it, that does not mean that other Earths don't exist. It just means he obviously was not from another Earth. If you listen to the Avengers Endgame writers, according to them, the snap didn't open up different worlds. But then they were like, then again, we didn't write Spider-Man, so whatever Feige wants to do is up to him. But I mean, we knew heading into the movie, Mysterio was a liar. So we knew that possibly was the lie. So that wasn't necessarily shocking to the three of us. But other worlds could exist. I'm still holding out hope that Doctor Strange 2 ends with, a portal, trying to open and, you know, he's like, what the hell is this? And out steps Reed Richards. I'm still have my fingers crossed for that, or Silver Surfer. But there's just endless possibilities of it. But I did want to ask you, Mike, with Spider-Man going full Iron Man, with them going the huge genius route, which Spider-Man was always smart in the comics, but I kind of feel like they're going more Tony Stark and less photographer Peter. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the Daily Bugle, at the end, that's now a podcast, kind of feels like they're never going to go the route of Peter being a photographer.
No, because,
you know, and that kind of hurt me a little bit.
I'm sure Tony probably left him some money too. So it's not like he's, you know, poor Peter like he used to be.
Right. Anymore.
So he isn't going to have to go freelance. But, you know, you got JK back. I want to hear him talk about pictures of Spider-Man at least one time. You know?
But I mean, isn't what they did with this movie with JK, isn't that similar to what they did with the Spider-Man video game and PlayStation, where they modernized the Daily Bugle?
The game, yeah, it was just a podcast. You were just listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
It's basically, they turned J. Jonah Jameson into Rush Limbaugh on the game, and it was a really, really good idea. I thought it was a great idea. So, yeah, if that's the way they go with it, I mean, I really feel like the end of that was touching on how bananas our news cycle is right now. I was just so happy. I know we're jumping ahead, but I was just so happy to see that. I'm glad I kept that a secret, because ear to ear grin, man. I almost shouted out loud in the middle of theater. I was so excited. And the thing was, I saw like all the other parents around about my age that were all super excited. And like, kids were like, what? what? So I was like, come on, man, show your kids those movies. They're good. And quit trashing Sam Raimi movies. I'm tired of this shit. Why do people got to tear something down to build something up?
Because Spider-Man 3 is awful. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
It is awful. But one's good. Yeah. Two is, for lack of a better word, amazing. So,
no, amazing Spider-Man is amazing.
Dr. Octopus. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to have a hard time beating that. Okay. So, I'm sorry. I'm all confused now because of J. Jonah Jameson.
Mysterio illusion.
I'm glad that they stopped the whole, oh, well, you know, it can't do that. No one's going to do J. Jonah Jameson better. So I'm glad they just, fuck it, we're going to do it.
Every interview today, they said they couldn't imagine anyone else in the role. So why even bother?
Remember like 2 years ago, they were talking about Ice Cube playing? I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, no.
I did like the idea of Rob Riggle. Like, I did like the idea of someone new, only because it's confusing. Because the last time you saw him was in Raimi Spider-Man. Well, at least then you're kind of just like, how does he exist in this one? Like, I don't get it.
I'll say first.
You know, it's an... it is an overthought, and it's one of those things where it's like you don't care. Just like if in 20 years they reboot the MCU and they bring Samuel Jackson back to be Nick Fury again, it's just something that people just wouldn't question. They wouldn't care. But it just was one of those things where it's like at some point some roles are, you know, something that you do pass the torch on. But I don't have a problem with him being back. I just would have liked to have seen someone new.
I mean, I would question Samuel L. Jackson in 20 years because he'd be 90.
And I tell you this, Samuel Jackson, the working man that he is, you would have to bury him. You would have to bury him before he stops doing movies.
So I do want to talk about, and I think, Dan, I think you started to talk about it, and I cut you off like a rude bastard, the illusion that Mysterio throws at Spider-Man. That whole scene was just crazy. And I already talked about the reanimated Iron Man, which was really creepy. But that whole thing was really crazy. And then you see, it got me with Nick Fury. I thought that was actually Nick Fury that shot him, you know? So, I mean, it was good. Good twist all over the place. I'm surprised that even though, you know, like I said, us smarks that knew this was coming, still it had some good surprises in there. So good on them for pulling that off.
I mean, even though you know Mysterio is more illusion-based and it's not – like there's no real danger, I was still tense the entire scene. I thought they did a great job with the effects, the CGI, the switching in costumes, the messing with Peter's head, what's real, what isn't real. Because even at the end when I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not Nick Fury and that's Mysterio, I didn't know. I mean, I was like, Peter is like, what's real, what's not real? Tell me something that no one knows about you. It was also kind of cool to see the real Mysterio costume and see where exactly the fishbowl comes from, because I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah. And I mean, this whole movie, if you want to get down to it, it's about Peter getting over his erectile dysfunction, right? I mean, his Spidey sense, getting his Spidey sense working. I mean, you can't say what they were trying to do there with making it sound like it was ED. So, hey, good for them. You slipped that into a kids movie. Good for you guys. Good for you guys.
I did truly enjoy the angle that they took with, because like you said, I was completely confused myself.
Yeah,
I was completely confused, and I did think it was really weird that they choose to be selective with his Spidey sense. It was in full flare in Infinity War. It was in full flare in Civil War, not in Homecoming. So it's just one of those things where it's just like, you guys are really selective when you want this thing to truly kick in. So I hope, you know, with what we saw at the end of the movie, I'm sure we'll get to it, that's not an issue anymore. It's fully unlocked. You know, it happens whenever he's in trouble, because I don't want a third movie to still give me, oh, he's still trying to figure it out. Like, it's a Spidey sense. It just kicks in. Like, it's not something that he earns. It kicks in.
Yeah, I feel like that, and after the speech we have where he builds his new suits up, I feel like he's arrived. He's right. Now the spectacular Spider-Man, you know? So we
ain't got, I thought you were going to say he's big time.
Well, he's big time. What'd you guys think about? Are you guys okay with Edith? Because I think we even talked about this in our Endgame review, that we thought that Tony was going to replace the voice. So, but I'm okay with it. I mean, I liked it in the suit and, you know, with the kill mode and all that stuff. I liked it in the last movie, and I like it just the sunglasses. Although he does look, I will say Jake Gyllenhaal, because he's a very handsome man. He looked much better with the glasses on than Tom Holland does. But, you know,
100%. First thing I thought when Jake put those glasses on was like, man, if they ever rebooted Iron Man, he'd be a really good Tony Stark. That was the first thing I immediately thought. With Edith, the biggest regret I've always had with the MCU is that they chose to make Jarvis Vision, because I thought it would have been a great passing of the torch. You know, like if Bruce Wayne died, Alfred would be the one that, you know, that carried things on, knowing exactly what Bruce would have wanted, stuff like that. I would have loved for Jarvis to have been in Peter's ear. I think that would have been great. You know, but they decided to go the route of Vision. Edith, the only reason Edith was okay for me was once they spelled out what the letters meant, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm cool with Edith. Like, that was the dopest Stark thing you could have ever done.
Right, but now that you mentioned the death of Batman, thanks. Now Danny's going to bring up why they need to make a Batman Beyond movie.
It's 20th anniversary of Batman Beyond. I mean, first, let's start there. But I like the Edith thing because it wasn't as prevalent as Friday, and that was one of my biggest issues with Homecoming, is that I felt it was Spider-Man and Friday, and she was in like every scene, and she was talking to him all the time, and it just wasn't a Spider-Man film. It felt like Spider-Man cosplaying as Tony Stark in that movie.
I get that. The problem I really have with it is you've already got Spider-Man, who is a very OP character, and now you're giving him like all these drones and shit. Now he's even more OP. So I do understand the criticism of it for sure.
I will say I did love the bus scene with the, oh my God, I didn't mean to kill him. And then the very cool money shot of him just popping up, quickly nailing it and going back to normal.
So why does the CG in Black Panther look awful, but it looks awesome in this movie, Danny?
Because it's Sony.
Oh, yeah, I will kill you.
But I think that plays a part in it, is that Marvel has been so focused with
movies,
and then, of course, Endgame, which took forever, that, I mean, here's Sony making it, and, oh, yeah, Sony, why don't you take care of this and focus on this, because this is all you have. You're welcome for all the money we're about to make you, and, you know, we're going to focus on Endgame.
I know it's against my better judgment. Let's talk about some of these side characters. I'm glad that Ned's barely come up at all, because he has a very – I actually liked him and Betty. I thought that was a clever idea to kind of get them all thing. And then, like, as soon as they get off the plane, oh, we broke up. And they're still talking like a couple and stuff. The worst, even worse than MJ, Flash Thompson. Awful, awful fucking casting. Awful. I hate it. I hate it. This one's like in Ultimates, because, oh, my God, this is the guy who used to – beat the shit out of Peter, and now he's some dork doing Flash.
But remember, bullying has changed though since
you're right.
It's evolved. It's evolved. You're right, Danny. It's evolved. It's evolved now to where it's virtual bullying. And the reason why I thought it was a solid casting, not great. It was a good casting, and I want to say this: there's more to that kid. There were two times they made it very clear that there was something more going on.
His parents in both movies now, haven't they? That his parents couldn't show up or something?
No. In this movie, they mentioned it twice, and they made sure that it was something that you paid attention to. The first one was when they were on the bus, and Peter, with the Edith glasses, was seeing everyone's texts. His text was, "Mom and Dad, I haven't heard from you in a while. Is everything okay?" Oh. Then when they land back, he asked, you know, the driver, like, you know, could Mom not come? And he just shook his head no. There's more to his parents, and there's more to that kid.
Oh, but Danny's smirking over there. You got an idea, Danny?
No, okay, I just remembered one of my favorite lines from the movie is by Flash, where he's like, "Love Spider-Man. He's a great guy. He stands up for the neighborhood. What's up, dickwad?"
I wish he hadn't ruined that line in the trailer. That was great. Yeah, this trailer.
Yeah, that was a good line. But to me, I like this Flash. He's funny. He's a good, not comic relief, but he's a good addition to the comedy of the movie. And he does perfectly fit today's time. You don't really have those, you know, big, strong guys just shoving kids in lockers anymore. Like, that doesn't really exist. It's more so, I'm going to tell everyone, like, how weird you are on Facebook, and they're just going to share it like 30 times, and you'll be embarrassed.
You guys, as I got thrown in the trash can in junior high, so I got bullied. You guys get cyber bullied. Oh man,
I'm excited for him to be in the Spider-Man 3, whatever the Spider-Man 3 graduation day, whatever they call it. Because of anybody, he's going to be the one that like is affected by Peter Parker being Spider-Man. Like that reaction, right. That scene alone is going to be great.
You saw how excited he was, like, Spider-Man follows me? Yeah, so it's kind of fun.
Someone brought up a point that I thought was really interesting. They brought up the idea of his parents might work for Norman Osborn. Maybe that's why they're always gone. And I loved that idea. I also loved the idea of Flash having a closer connection to something that's going to be a big storyline for Spider-Man 3. Because like I said, they did their best to make it clear that there was something else going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested in what that is, mainly because Spider-Man 3, I don't think, is going to introduce Norman as the main villain.
But he needs to be in it.
And if they do... No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I'm really interested in... Because you can't go the route of having Harry come in, be the new hotshot, because it just would seem weird, because they rarely focus on school in this second movie. So that would be a little off-putting. So I am curious if we'll ever get a Harry Osborn in the Spider-Man universe, because we know we're going to get Norman, but where and how do you incorporate Harry?
See, now I'm like thinking about the school, and I want, you know, Lizard to be in a school, but they just did that a couple movies ago. So they're all trying to just kind of get away from the characters. But I'm at the point now where it's like, okay, I got that with the first two movies, and I would love to have Kraven. Obviously, I want to have
these. He's the obvious pick for three.
Yeah, but I still want, even if it's just the Osborn for Mayor sign in the background or something, give me something just so I know he exists. You don't like Mayor Osborn?
Well,
I will say,
if you look, it's really hard to see it, but again, I've seen it twice. When he's swinging through New York with MJ, and he first drops down with her, right behind them is like this huge green sign, and it says 1, 2, 3, and then the number 4 is just a question mark, and it says something coming soon or something like that, like alluding to a building or something is like being Oscorp. Finalized. I'm thinking it's Oscorp. A lot of people are like, it could be Baxter Building. Wouldn't make sense, because if you look at where Spider-Man was swinging, like when he first was like gliding through the air and he went through that building, that is where Avengers Tower used to be, and it looks like it's a huge company now. So I mean, Oscorp could already exist. So to me, it's organic. I even played around with the idea of, if you go Kraven, why not just go the route of Norman Osborn hiring Kraven to find and catch Spider-Man
Goblin this movie, because then you'll have what you had in Amazing Spider-Man 2, where you feel like you got to shove Green Goblin in there when you already had him.
I don't think they're ever going to do Green Goblin, because I think what they're trying to set up is that Norman replaces the rich, handsome genius, which Stark was. I think he's literally just going to replace Stark. But then he could, you know, that obviously he'll turn evil, but I think he'll be more of a suit Norman Osborn, like an iron suit, than he will be Green Goblin. And I'm completely fine with that.
Norman Osborn, make it happen. Matthew McConaughey. Since we can't have Michael Keaton, they've already used Michael Keaton, so my second pick was Matthew McConaughey. So
see, I did like that till I wanted Matthew McConaughey for Reverse Flash. Now that's what I want. I think he'd be a better Reverse Flash.
Oh, see, now we're going down a rabbit hole. This show will be like. we've covered most of the major bases here. We know how we already talked about how he defeats Mysterio and stuff like that. Anything before we get to the post credits that you guys want to talk about that you feel like I missed?
I will just say out loud, I like Zendaya. I like her in the role. I like her chemistry with Tom Holland. I think that for a teenage romance, I think they capture the awkwardness completely well. So I think them two together, great. I'm going to be sad when they probably kill Zendaya at some point, because that's what happens to all of the Parker women, is that they die. So I'm waiting for that to happen.
If she turns out to not be the actual MJ and they want to bring out the real Mary Jane later, it's like, wow, and you're going to call her MJ too? Man, poor form, Peter. poor form.
Yeah, I think Feige is smart enough to know you can't do that. Like, you've already went all in. Like, she is MJ. So if she dies, she dies as the only MJ we'll ever see.
They basically just twist her and Gwen Stacy. Just reverse the roles there.
To me, the reason why I always thought it would have been smarter to just, like we said, make her a new character is in the comics. I think the only time he ever had a relationship with Liz Allen, like he did in the first one, was in Spectacular Spider-Man. Right after Harry dated her, Peter dated her. But in the comics, it was always either Gwen Stacy, Mary Jane, or Felicia. So it was never Liz Allen. So when they went that route, I was like, this is really weird.
Well, hopefully they scrap that Silver and Black movie and put Felicia in this universe. I'd be good with that. Heck yeah.
I tell you what, it'd be really weird. Even though the rumors of Chloe Grace Moretz being Felicia is great to me, but the way Black Cat is like over sexualized, I think would be really weird for chemistry. Like picture her licking Tom Holland's Spidey mat. It just looked really weird. It's better for the cast.
No, don't justify the hell out of it. No, that ain't gonna happen. Now Vanessa Kirby as Catwoman, I will volunteer for any role. Anyway, getting off task here. So the credit scene. We already talked about J. Jonah Jameson shows up. He brings up that Spider-Man, you execute the drones or whatever, and then he reveals the big shocker. He reveals his name. So I was thinking before this movie, why is Peter the only Avenger who we don't know his identity, you know? But, I mean, I get it. He's a teenager, whatever. But I have no idea. I have no idea what they're doing with this. Like I said, there's some really bad Dan Slott stories that use this arc, and I hope they ain't going that way because I know that they wanted to use Civil War because it was recent and it was really popular. I understood that. No longtime Spider-Man fan. Hell, not even Ultimate Spider-Man fans like the Dan Slott Spider-Man. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. That's my only prayer.
Well, you revealing who he is, I think, opens the door for Daredevil. I think opens the door for She-Hulk. Both characters are really good lawyers.
Too soon. Don't bring up Daredevil. Too soon.
Well, no, by the time we film a Spider-Man 3, it will be good. Marvel will have the rights back to their characters because it's only another year or two before it gets released back to them. So I would love it to where if Peter is in like, is in an interrogation room and he's like, you know, I want my lawyer. Like, don't I get a lawyer? And Matt Murdock walks in.
And it's actually Charlie Cox.
Bananas. And it's actually Charlie Cox.
Because I ain't seen anyone else's Kingpin right now. I'm just letting you know. So, yeah.
Well, if you follow Vincent D'Onofrio on Twitter, anytime a fan mentions Kingpin and Spider-Man, he retweets it and then comments, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, we get it, Vincent. Like, you love Kingpin. relax. But to me, I think the funniest thing is Stark was willing to expose this kid in Homecoming. Remember at the end where he said, I'm going to reveal you to the world? Like, just step forward into the suit. You'll be an Avenger. It's like, Stark, you do know, like, he's 16, and you're about to make every villain just knock on his door and just start shooting up the place. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you go with this. The only thing I could think of is the fact that this movie was making it very adamant that it was a movie based on a lie. You could also play the angle of he was a liar. Like, he lied. I'm not Spider-Man. The one thing I don't want them to do that I thought they would do, remember how in the comics Stark used to say Iron Man was his bodyguard? And, like, he used to have the suit show up and then him show up. So, like, people would always go, oh, well, he can't be Iron Man. Because, look, don't do that with the Iron Spider suit. Don't have the Iron Spider show up and then, like, Peter show up. And it's like, well, look, I'm not Spider-Man. Don't do that. Find a more clever way to get Peter out of this.
Ned put on the tights and show up and be like, hey, guys, I'm Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, no. I even think they might do something as stupid as, Dan, I don't know if you watched Spectacular Spider-Man, but it was when Venom had revealed who Spider-Man was. Flash Thompson put on the costume. Like, a bunch of people put on the costume to say, I'm Spider-Man. I feel like the MCU will go that route. And it's kind of just like, just be more clever. Like, I don't want to see Flash Thompson and other kids come out in support of Peter, saying, I'm Spider-Man, he's not Spider-Man. Like, don't, it's too cliche.
Yeah, I love the idea of the potential of what the story could be, because there aren't a lot of, I mean, Peter Parker keeping his identity secret is a big deal. They made a big point of stressing that this entire movie up until that reveal, that he just wanted to be a normal kid. He just wanted to go with the girl that he liked and, like, hang out with her. He can never do that now. Like, they have taken that away from him. They have put him in the tightest corner. And there's, to me, there's no better villain than Kraven the Hunter now to hunt the famous Peter Parker. I think that is if I had my wallet, I'd be throwing it at the screen right now. Like, all of my money. Because that's interesting and that's dangerous. And Kraven is a villain that, if you're going to go the opposite of Mysterio with illusions, nothing is more real than Kraven the Hunter. So
I know he's already Aquaman, but how can that not be Jason Momoa? Just saying.
Damn it. Why would you say that?
Yeah, come on. Don't say stuff like that.
Well, if someone teaches Roman how to act, I don't.
Yeah, I'm with Juwan, though. I don't need them to cheap the cheap way out of it. I don't need the bodyguard angle. I don't need someone in a suit. I kind of say go with it. I love the symmetry that this movie parallels the Iron Man trilogy so hard throughout the entire movie. But you start the Marvel movies with I am Iron Man, and now you end Phase 3 with he is Spider-Man. And I think that really does set us up for a crazy Phase 4, and I can't wait to see where they take it.
Speaking of Phase 4, we get to the end credit scene, which is what you and I have been saying for a while now, that they're going to do Secret Invasion, right? I mean, and it's clear what this is. Like I said, I disagree with our buddy Fro, who made it sound like this was like the greatest end credit scene ever. And I'm like, it didn't tell me anything that Captain Marvel didn't tell me about the Skrulls. But okay. So Fury's like drinking in a Corona commercial there at the end. Okay, cool. Apparently he told someone to get back to work and we couldn't see who that was. So it had to be Fantastic Four, right? No. So I was on this, whatever what this was.
The only thing I geeked out about with this end credit scene was the idea that he was creating S.W.O.R.D. Him and Captain Marvel were creating S.W.O.R.D. That was the only interesting thing. He was telling the Skrulls to get back to work. I liked it because they obviously changed it from the comics to where it was this lady with green hair and Captain Marvel who created S.W.O.R.D., which I'm fine with.
I don't know what you're talking about right now. So awesome. I'm learning something right now.
Okay. No. Okay. So S.W.O.R.D. was, you know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, what S.H.I.E.L.D. was for Earth. S.W.O.R.D. was that for outer space, pretty much. So they defended they defended all the alien and cosmic attacks and stuff like that. Mainly they focused on, because it was created around the whole Kree-Skrull War and then the beginning of Secret Invasion. It was, like you said, it was nothing that we didn't really see coming. I do want to say it was cheap what Feige and Watts did, mainly because I said since Winter Soldier, Nick Fury was a Skrull. I thought when he died, they replaced him and put a Skrull agent in. So when they showed him driving in a car and then it's Talos, I was like, wait, could Talos have been Fury since Captain Marvel? And then it's like, oh, no, he's only been Fury since like the end of Endgame. And I'm like, that was like such a cheap thing to do. But the one thing I do hate about them introducing S.W.O.R.D. is you having Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still on television. I would prefer if S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't exist anymore. And that's why he created S.W.O.R.D. Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just, it has to stop. Like,
it's fantastic. No, don't do it.
There we go.
It has to stop. It just has to stop. Ghost Rider saved it, and now that he's getting his own show, allow them to peacefully make their exit. But yeah, now that we're entering into S.W.O.R.D., Secret Invasion is definitely on the horizon. I am more curious now as to, because it won't be Eternals, it won't be Black Widow. When will be the next movie that we see the Skrulls storyline kind of further out?
I will say the most exciting part for me about this second, or I guess the end credit scene, you want to call it. My boy Ben Mendelsohn is still part of the MCU. He is still a part of potentially Phase 4. I love Talos. I love the way he plays it. He plays it just so not hamming it up, but he just, you can tell he has fun behind the makeup.
Ben Mendelsohn could play a telephone pole and Danny would say how awesome it was. So.
Time out. Hold on. Danny, I will say this, man. Ben Mendelsohn is a gem. We got to protect that man at all.
Oh, no, I agree. in what universe was he not going to like whoever Ben Mendelsohn played? So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I like him and he was director Krennic for crying out
loud. I kind of like him with Woody. Dude. That end credit scene in Venom was awful. It had an awful wig. It was kind of poorly acted.
That wig is so bad.
I was like, holy shit, Woody Harrelson is Cletus Cassidy. So I didn't care. So yeah, I'm the same way. Don't worry about it. So before we get into our final race, we kind of talked, kind of sprinkled it all throughout what we want to see next. I feel like we're getting to the point where it's okay to have like more than one villain. As long as it isn't a new one. I mean, if it's one we've seen before, like we don't need an origin for Green Goblin again or anything like that, you know? But if you want to put like a couple of them in there, like one new one and one, I'm sorry, by new one, I mean one that we haven't seen on the screen before and one that we have, I'm okay with that. It's kind of like we talked about with Batman. You got so many good villains with Spider-Man. Why do I just get one villain per time, you know? And I mean, if you want to lead up to Sinister Six, yeah, I'm in full support of that. But yeah, Kraven's one I've never seen. For sure, I want to see that. I don't ever need to see Rhino ever again. I love Paul Giamatti, but I don't ever need to see that shit again because it was garbage.
It's hard to bring to life. It really is. I
definitely want to see what this version of Marvel Studios can do with Dr. Octopus because that's my favorite Spidey villain. So I'm anxious to get there eventually. And you know what we talked about with as long as you have like Norman Osborn in the universe. If you have Peter working under Dr. Octopus and he's not Dr. Octopus yet, you know, I'm okay with that. Just working for Otto like he is in the Spider-Man video game. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Just make this universe open up a little bit more. They don't have to be villains right away. You know, just let it breathe a little bit. This is a big, big universe. If you're not going to have Daredevil in it, you're not going to have Kingpin in it, you're not going to have Elektra in it, do something. Use the stuff that you do have. That's what I'd like to see going forward.
I mean,
Dan.
No, I was just going to say the one question we haven't asked here, if we're talking about the future, is it a no-brainer that Sony re-ups with Marvel and continues this very fruitful partnership?
Hedging to make Peter the face of the MCU like they are if they did not have a deal in place. Because I felt like that's why they were kind of holding it back in the first place, because they didn't know if Sony was going to flake out or not. I believe that Feige gets what Feige wants, I feel like, at this point.
I will tell you guys this little bit of
insider
kind
trade.
Of information. Yeah, I will tell you guys this. Sony will be selling very soon. They will be bought out. Now, when I say very soon, I don't mean like in the next few months. It'll be a little while, but they will get bought out. And they know that if they're bought out, the rights automatically go back to Marvel. So I could see them kind of wanting to speed up a deal just to kind of get as much money as they possibly can out of Spider-Man, out of Venom, before they do ultimately sell. But they are looking to sell. So keep an eye out on that. Sony will be selling at some point. But I can tell you this now.
No Baby Driver 2.
They will... I can tell you guys this now. They will try to put out as many Spider-Man properties as they can before they do. So if you start hearing more and more Spider-Man spinoff movies, it's because they're gearing up for a sale.
They should have done what they talked about. They actually, with a straight face, said, yeah, we want to make an Aunt May solo movie. That was when they should have said, you know what? The government should have forced them to sell after that statement.
You know what? To be fair, as dumb as that sounds, they are making an Alfred show. So, I mean, it's just the world we live in.
Mike, Gotham got 5 seasons.
Power of Batman right there. It's like, hey, we're going to have a Batman show without Batman in it. And people are like, oh, I can't wait. Everybody knew how awful Gotham was. It wasn't like Smallville where we like go back to it. We're like, oh, well, all of this is really bad. Don't care. Still love it. Don't care. With Gotham, it was like while it was happening, like, this is awful. And people kept watching it because it was Batman. Crazy.
It's the power of Batman. That's all I can say.
Danny, do you want to see in the next Spider-Man area anything at all?
I want to see Kraven. I want to see Spider-Man go against a truly physical threat. Someone who not only is going to hunt him, but hunt his friends and put them all in danger. I mean, make it Spider-Man a horror movie. here's my money. Just take all my money right now.
Kill Flash. Kill Ned. Kill MJ. Kill Aunt May. Yes. Let's do it.
You're so morbid now.
I will say that was one of the things that bothered me of Far From Home was how willing Jake Gyllenhaal's Mysterio was to kill children. Mm-hmm. I was just like, it's children. Like, relax a little bit, man. Like, no one's really going to believe them. They're kids. And it's like, no, I got to murder them. It was like, oh okay. All right, man. But no, see, what's funny is when you said it, Mike, I was like, oh no, Mike's going to jump all over me. I kind of want the two villains to be Rhino and Kraven.
Rhino's done right. Sure. I just having a hard time getting that Paul Giamatti just disaster out of my mind.
I don't disagree with you at all. See, I think the problem is when we think Rhino, we think of how big we're used to Rhino being. I don't think Rhino needs to be that big. I think if you kind of have it to where Kraven is experimenting on humans to kind of make the ultimate hunt. He does this experiment on this guy who turns into like a big rhino. And he uses him as a pet. I would like that. And then he sends Rhino to go catch Spider-Man. And when he fails, that's when Kraven shows up and all hell breaks loose.
Okay. I'm with that as long as they do this
Rhino
to Scorpion in prison right now. Cause that's our boy Primo from Better Call Saul.
Oh yeah, it is. But to me, Rhino is very easily, like, you could very easily do it just because Amazing Spider-Man did such a bad job. Does not mean that it is a difficult character to do. So to me, I kind of think if you do it like that to where he wants to make, you know, these experiments so he can hunt the ultimate hunt. And then he, you know, makes a rhino and then sends that weapon. Then when he fails, he comes out. I think that's box office and people would eat it up. It definitely
seems like they're more willing to use characters that a previous version did bad. I mean, they made Hulk 5 years after Ang Lee's Hulk movie was like one of the worst things I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah, so bad.
Not like DC or Warner Brothers, who's going to be like, no, that Green Lantern movie a decade ago was terrible, so we can't use Green Lantern ever.
Yeah. Wait, I do want to say something, Danny.
Danny's going to. I bring it up on the other podcast.
Super entertaining. Oh, no, not that. I was saying, remember while they were in New York, you saw like all those murals of Iron Man and stuff like that. I heard someone say, and this was not from anyone from a studio or anything, but I did hear someone say, yo, how dope would it be, because we know he exists, how dope would it be if Miles was out there tagging some of those murals for Tony Stark?
Freaking about the end credit scene. I thought for sure it was gonna be like Prowler or some shit that people was gonna freak out about, because you know they already have Donald Glover in there. So I thought for sure that it was gonna be something like that, the way that people were freaking out about it. So that's why when I got what I got, I was like, that's it, really? That's what everybody was excited about? Not the J. Jonah Jameson part. So
I heard that Prowler's already, like, they have Donald Glover. They could bring in Prowler as someone's muscle.
They did make him seem like a street level criminal. Like true. A guy who would probably sell like cars that were stolen. He didn't seem like the guy we got into the Spider-Verse.
Look, you guys want to do Miles Morales like a decade from now, like you're talking about, Danny? I could get more on board with that. Right now, I just want to see Sony just build that Spider-Verse, the multiverse thing that they got over there. I want them to do that instead of quit jacking around with Sinister Six without Spider-Man. Just do that Miles Morales first over there, and I'm good with that.
I want my Peter Parker here for 10 years, because I want him, when he dies, I want it to hurt.
Yeah,
I want kids crying. I want adults like sad. I want like everyone just bawling in the theater when he dies. That's what I want.
That's got Tom Holland in
it. I tell you what, if you do it right, we could feel the same way about him leaving, the same way we felt about Iron Man leaving. Mm-hmm. And it'll be just even cooler to see him pass that torch to Miles Morales. But it's way too early. Just like I tell people who like Batman Beyond, it's like, we don't even have a Batman yet. It's like, you're talking, give me Terry. Let's let Batman kind of, I thought the best time to do Terry was let Ben get older and then just have Ben pass the torch instead of a Nightwing. Give him Terry.
Need Batman Beyond.
I don't disagree, but I think if you get it, I think it'll be an Elseworld film. I think it'll be Elseworld. I think it'll be a one-off. I don't think you'll get a series of it.
No, nothing to say there, Mike?
Look, I'm sure Batman Beyond was a really cool show, just like your Young Justice was a really cool show. That's a small crowd, though. No one wants to see movies of that. We want our prime characters. We don't want Son of Batman. We don't want any of that trash. Nobody wants a Damian Wayne movie.
Hold on.
I want Damian Wayne.
Damian Wayne? I tell you this. I love Son of Batman so much, I wouldn't mind if you skipped over Dick, Jason, and got right to Damian Wayne. I'd be 100% okay with that.
This is the age gap thing here. This is what I was talking about. But I mean, we started talking about the Matt Reeves Batman. Things are going to get nuts because from what I'm hearing about that, there's like a ton of characters in that that you're going to just completely floor people. So, but yeah, that's a conversation definitely for another time. Anything else on Far From Home? I guess we should just get like our final thoughts, like what you thought about the movie, like overall, and give it, if you want to give it a ranking, you can. People get so sensitive about this stuff, you know, because, you know, apparently we live in a world now where a 7 out of 10 is considered a bad score. So, you know, anything less than like an 8.5, people think it's like terrible. So I'll go first since I'll probably be the lowest score here. I gave Homecoming like a 7, like a 7.8 or something like that. I really had a good time with it. I like where it's headed, and I think it set it up really well heading into a third one. One of my favorite things that they did, they captured the spirit of the comic, which is Peter trying to walk that line between being a superhero and being a kid. And I thought they really, really touched on that well in this movie. So for me, yeah, that hit all the right places. That's what I wanted to see, and I had a good time with it. I just hate the surrounding cast. That's all.
I'll go so Jawan can be last. I'll give it a B. Solid B. Maybe B to B minus. I think Tom Holland is perfect as Peter Parker in Spider-Man. I think he did a great job of carrying the movie by himself with no Robert Downey Jr. training wheels this time around. I love Jake Gyllenhaal in the role of Mysterio. I thought when he really let loose and became the villain, he was a lot more engaging, a lot more fun, because that's the Jake Gyllenhaal we love. Great story. Some of the surrounding cast was okay, nothing special. And it really does set up a really unpredictable Spider-Man 3, because, I mean, they can take this in a number of directions, and pretty much all of them are going to be good, except for the Dan Slott ones.
I think I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10. I just can't really place that many bad things or things I didn't like about the movie. And I think what kind of enhanced it the most for me was, as Tia would say, the hallway scene. Wasn't really a hallway scene, but she was comparing it to Daredevil when he was in the close quarters with Mysterio at the end, where he was taking out all those drones. Mm-hmm. And then Mysterio popped up, and he used his Spidey sense to kind of dodge the, you know, being shot in the head, which was really dark. But he dodged it. I was like, this is Spider-Man. Like, this is the essence of Spider-Man. Like, this isn't a 30-year-old trying to play a high schooler like Toby. This isn't just an awkward dude in Andrew Garfield. This is the essence. So, I mean, 8.5 is where I'm going to have to go. And I will say, Mike, we do get offensive when grades aren't super high. Like, I gave Endgame a 7.5 out of 10.
And I bet people lost their mind, didn't they? Yeah.
I only gave it that purely because of like the last 20 minutes of that movie. Like, I thought the rest of it was like, you could throw this away. Like, that end battle was the only thing that saved that movie for me. So yeah, I think 8.5 is very reasonable. And I will agree with you. It's very important that Tom was able to do this without Robert Downey Jr. Because that was what bugged me in Homecoming. I'm like, it's Spider-Man. Like, there's too much Iron Man here. Like, even the little bit that we got from him, I thought was way too much. So yeah, I'm going to go 8.5. I really love this movie. Jake was great. Tom Holland elevated himself as Spider-Man. And yeah, I can't wait to see how crazy they go with Spider-Man 3, which will probably be Spider-Man 3 graduation day. Danny, I think you nailed it.
Danny, I will say this, though. If you had went ahead in time and came back and told me, you know what, you're going to like Sony's animated Into the Spider-Verse better than the MCU Spider-Man movies. I told you you were crazy, but I did.
Well, that's because, I mean, we've heard it before. There's a lot more freedom in the animation that I think helps Into the Spider-Verse, but I mean, they just went for it. And I don't think it's a bad thing on Sony and Marvel here with this movie, but no one had any expectations for Into the Spider-Verse. And I think having that freedom freed them up to just swing for the fences, and they nailed it.
So I think I go like this. Number one, still Sam Raimi, Spider-Man 2, then probably Into the Spider-Verse, and then just pick one. I don't even care. I like Amazing Spider-Man. I liked Andrew Garfield. You nailed it with the awkward thing, though. I loved God, what's her name? Is Gwen Stacy. She's always awesome.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, see, we're all drawing a blank.
Emma Stone?
Yes, call me. That's her name. Call me. The only thing I didn't like about that really brought it down was the changes to the suit. I don't have my Spider-Man with white eyes. It drives me nuts.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
No, that movie doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If we can just erase that from existence, that's like on par with Spider-Man 3 for me, of Raimi Spider-Man 3 for me. It's that bad without the dance.
It's funny because, like, you're going to hate hearing this, Mike, but the only thing that saved Spider-Man 2 for me, even though I think that was one of the best acting villains to date, like, you know, Mysterio could rival it, but I thought Molina was amazing as Doc Ock. But the only thing that saved the only thing that saved that movie for me was probably that train scene. That I think is the most iconic superhero moment.
Yeah, copies it now.
I mean, we saw Homecoming copy it with him trying to pull the boat back together.
The boat.
It was so iconic, like that him trying to stop the train. That was super iconic. That is what saved that movie for me, because that's literally the only thing I could remember.
You had
very, very clearly from that movie.
You weren't born when it came out, so you didn't experience it.
I was 100% born, because I remember playing the first Spider-Man game and then that Spider-Man game, which, by the way, those two games ahead of their time.
Sure.
Free roam with Spider-Man, you can't get any better than that.
So right, you cite those scenes. I'm all about Andrew Garfield climbing down and saving that kid in the car. Like, to me, that's Spider-Man right there.
No, yeah, that was good. And I loved Kurt Connors in that movie. I thought he was awesome. So I
agree with you on that.
I don't
see
how they do Lizard better. Sorry.
But Danny, you prefer that over when he was going through the buildings and stuff to try to get up top to Lizard? You prefer that? That scene of him saving the kid over that?
Yeah, I mean, I like that scene where he's, like, wounded and trying to get up to the Lizard. But, I mean, Spider-Man's always a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's all about save one person and then focus on everything else. And I think that scene distills it so well that he's like, hey, I'm just like you. And he takes off the mask. And to me, that's why I love Andrew Garfield in the role, because he sold it through in that scene to me.
I feel like Raimi's first Spider-Man movie aged poorly because of that awful Mighty Morphin Power Rangers costume they have for Green Goblin, which at the time didn't bother me, but it's aged really, really bad. But the scene where he's like, choose, he drops them both. Yeah. And to me, that was like the Spider-Man moment. I love that so much. It was perfect.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
See, people sleeping on that movie.
Willem Dafoe was freaking awesome too. He gave me nightmares as his Green Goblin. I can't even front.
And when he shows up at the Macy's Day Parade, he pumpkin bombs the shit out of everybody. I love it, man. People sleep on these movies. I watched them again with my kid, did not watch three. I let my kid watch it. I didn't watch it.
You let your kid watch it?
You know what he said?
We got to give Sam Raimi more credit, man.
Yeah.
Man
of Steel 2. That's what you need to do right there. Sam Raimi, Spider-Man, Super.
The world's not ready for that.
What did your kid say after Spider-Man 3? I have to know this.
He liked it fine. He just said that Venom was too small. He said Venom was just way too skinny. He's like, Venom. You're not wrong. Dude, this kid is like full on like rage nerd. Because I remember we were seeing I think it was Guardians 2. And we saw the trailer for one of the Transformers movies. And right after the trailer's over, he looks at me and goes, why is Optimus Prime's eyes wrong color? This is stupid. And I'm like, you're well on your way, buddy. You are well on your way.
Yeah, that was one of the many stupid things to come out of those Transformers movies.
Hey, Bumblebee.
The fact that there were 90 Decepticons in the same four Autobots will forever be the most confusing thing about that franchise.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. I'm glad to finally able to work this out. I like having like three people on here. I feel like we can, you know, get some dissenting opinions, so we're not just like, you know, agreeing with each other or just completely just like arguing the whole time. Like when he when he tries to say something like Batman Beyond is better than Batman or something like that. You know, so.
I never said better than Batman. I said it is a worthy successor to Batman.
I never watched Young Justice. I tried to watch it with my kid, and all he kept asking me was, where's Superman, where's Flash, where's Batman? He didn't care about any of those other characters. So
that is heartbreaking. Young Justice is for his generation, and the fact that he wants the OGs is heartbreaking.
Because he loves, like, Big Hero 6. He loves, you know, and all these different superhero-ish kind of, he loves the new Voltron and stuff. So I was like, he's willing to try new things out. But I think the problem with that is, like, you kept having Flash or Red Tornado or just, you know, a Justice League member show up once in a while to where he was just like, okay, I just want to see more of that character. It should have been, like, there for the pilot and then disappeared completely.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair. I don't really have a big argument against that. Fair enough.
By the way, the 90s Spider-Man animated series, I feel like that kind of gets, like, lost in the shuffle because of how good Batman animated series was. How good X-Men animated series was. Yeah. No one talks about that Spider-Man cartoon was really good.
I will say, we are really good friends. I actually have his number, Ernie Altbacker, who wrote, I think, the first two seasons of the animated Spider-Man series. I told him, very underrated. Like, I think, like you just said, we talk Batman, we talk X-Men. Another thing that gets lost in the shuffle is that Superman had an animated series in the 90s. People keep forgetting that.
It's great how that's the one that nobody even mentions, and it was fine.
They never talk about it, and it was really good. But you had the 90s probably had the best era of cartoons. Gargoyles came out in the 90s. Like, it was so many. But Spider-Man, definitely, I put right next to – I actually put it over X-Men. I put it right next to Batman.
Wow, all right. See, here's the thing is they're talking about, oh, they want to bring back the X-Men animated series on Disney Plus. It's not going to be the same, though, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
New X-Men stuff, but I don't know. I don't feel like it's going to be the same.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Agreement, sir. All right, well, if anybody's got anything else, I guess we'll go ahead and shut this down because we're just rambling like Ned or something now. You know? we're rambling like it's a flash mob or something.
I will say, because you bring up Ned, the girl in front of me, whenever they said babe to each other, she groaned so loud. It was the best reaction I've ever seen.
I think the thing that was so horrible about it was that everyone knows someone who is just like that. Like, they just started dating. And it's the babe wave where it's like, oh, you're going to eat that, babe? Oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom, babe? And it's like, oh, my goodness. I just want to tell you that he's cheating on you. Like, I just want to break this up outright. Hey, guys,
wait until you're 40. That stuff will actually make you dry heave when you see it happening. Like, people that, like, sit there on hot, like, Valentine's Day on their Facebook page and talk about how much they love their spouse and shit like that. Go tell them, motherfucker. Don't tell me. You know? It only gets worse as you get older, guys.
God, I hate it. I hate it now.
But Danny, you did touch on it. One thing that is, even though I'm not crazy about the supporting cast, I don't know if y'all want to give the credit to the director, the actors, or all the above. Yeah, they capture that awkwardness just perfectly of what it's like trying to break the ice with someone that you are into at that age. So I definitely, with nothing against Zendaya's acting, it's just the character. I think she's actually a really good actress in everything I've seen her in. I'm excited that she's going to be in Dune, you know? So, by the way, who the hell was trying to make a contest out of Zendaya and Halle Berry? Sit the fuck down. All right. I don't know if you saw that or not.
To be fair.
No.
It's really difficult to...
No, it isn't.
I don't want to say sexualized, but it's difficult because Zendaya is, like, she is, like, I think 20 maybe, but she just seems so young. So, like, it kind of feels weird when you're like, nah, man, she's super hot. And it's like, how old is she again? All right, just making sure. But I will 22. Say this.
22.
She's 22.
We talked about this when we were talking about the 100, and the girl that I had the hots for on the 100 was, like, young enough to be my daughter. And I was like, well, I feel awful.
I will tell you this. the conversation of Halle Berry and Zendaya will become a lot closer when she's 30. I can guarantee you.
Halle's still in her prime. What's up?
Halle will die in her prime. She'll look gorgeous in her casket.
They should cast her as Catwoman.
Zendaya is beautiful.
They should cast Halle Berry as Catwoman.
No, we've been down that road.
We get reaction out of Daniel.
It was around that Gothica time. Never again. Oh, never again.
Oh, Monster's Ball though. Check it.
Make me feel good.
Good stuff. See, now we just keep going forever. We're going. So, guys, thank you for listening. We're going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming soon. I think Danny isn't Comic Con the next one. When is Comic Con? Is it next week or next week?
Next week.
Next week. And
we will have boots on the ground.
Yeah, what all you having at? Are we having on Geek Vibes for Comic Con? Anybody there? Anybody going?
Yeah. We have two people going out there, and they're going to. Actually, I'm sorry, three people going out there, and they're going to cover every inch of that convention. Yeah, so it's gonna be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be so much fun. So much fun.
Cool. I need all of the grainy cell phone footage of any trailers.
Yeah, really. Please give me some grainy.
You want to know something funny? The past 2 years, I've had a friend who's actually a writer for one of these big companies, and he's always giving me footage. I had Infinity War before anyone else did, and I shared it with people like on Facebook and Messenger. So like I told the three people we're sending, I'm like, if you don't get me this footage before like it's released from any other trade, just know you're coming back here jobless. Like you're no longer part of this. Like. Come on now. I need it. So they know. And they better give it to me. Spider-Man.
Cool. All we need now is get Mike screening access in Houston. That's what we need to get. Yeah.
Yeah. We got you. We're working on it. I barely have it here.
I know.
Kanan seems to have it all. Yeah. He's cornered the market. So I got to get it from him.
Danny, I believe you wanted to say something about it being National Video Game Day. Did you play a video game today?
No, I didn't. I just figured, you know, we don't talk enough video games here that we could say our favorite video game before we kind of like let it go.
Favorite video game? I don't know if I could do that. I'll say my favorite video game franchise is Legend of Zelda. It'll probably always be Legend of Zelda because every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. What's your favorite gaming franchise? Danny's gonna say Super Mario Brothers. Don't even sweat it. Spoiler. No.
I think for me, it's always going to be Ocarina of Time. Always, it'll never change. It's the game that made me fall in love with gaming all over again.
Never forget your first.
Yeah.
What was your first system? The PS3.
My first system? No. Very funny. My first system was Sega Genesis. Your older
brothers or something? Or?
No. I had gotten it. I had gotten it when I was maybe five. I was born in '93. I'm not as young as you guys keep trying to make me feel. But no, if I had to pick my favorite game, because a franchise, I'll go down a rabbit hole. I'm going to go GoldenEye. It was the game that not only ended friendships, but grew new ones.
That's how I felt about Smash Brothers. It was like that ended several friendships.
Yeah. The thing in my house, if you came over to my house to play GoldenEye and you went after either the bazooka or the golden gun first, you were kicked out of the house. Like, no, we don't play that. Like, no. No, just like if I'm playing you in Halo and you grabbed a grenade launcher, it's or like, it's over.
It was like, no, no one pick Odd Job. Yeah, that's what I'm no one pick Odd
Job. Odd Job all day. Okay.
So what's the next big superhero movie? Is it Joker?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a Joker. Oh, shit, it's Joker.
You guys optimistic for it?
Very. Yeah. Very. Now that the director has come out and said, like, didn't base it off of anything in the comics, I'm like, oh, all right, great. So I'm looking at it for just being a good movie. It looks like it's going to be a good movie.
It's a straight remake of De Niro's Taxi Driver with Joker, and I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. That's a great freaking movie.
The Joker is such a great character, and he can be so many different things. And then you put him in the hands of an elite talent like Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, sign me up. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Apparently, he turned down Doctor Strange to do this. So I think we all benefited there because I think he's going to be a great Joker. And I think that, you know, Cumberbatch is a great Doctor Strange. So,
yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Doctor Strange is great. Doctor Strange and Doctor Strange is not great.
Okay, last one, I promise. give me the solo movie in Phase 4 you're most excited for and the solo movie in Phase 4 you're least excited for.
Well, this is easy. the movie I'm most excited for is definitely Black Panther 2 from everything I'm hearing Coogler's going with. The one I'm least excited for is 100% Captain Marvel.
Is she going to have one in Phase 4? Is it Captain Marvel 2 going to be in Phase 4?
I think you'd be crazy not to have it in Phase 4, mainly because I think you're going to end Phase 4 with Secret Invasion, like the full-out war.
Right.
And her story is heavily influenced by Kree and Skrulls.
Well, they haven't officially announced Ant-Man 3 yet, so I can't say Ant-Man 3 is my least favorite, Danny. So right now, I'm excited. Doctor Strange 2. Like I said, I like him whenever the Russos do use him. But Solo, I know we've only had one movie, so that's kind of unfair. That's probably like one of the most forgettable Solo movies for me. And based off of what's been announced, since I can't say Guardians, because that's technically a team-up movie, especially if it's going to have Thor in it, I guess I want you on. I'll go with Black Panther 2. I'm interested to see if they're going to put Namor in it, because I really like that War of the Kings. What else are you going to do with Namor? Nobody wants a Namor Solo movie.
Namor was I tell you what. We would have accepted a Namor solo movie if Aquaman hadn't come out. But the fact that these characters are so similar, your story would be almost identical, somewhat identical.
I'm dickhead Aquaman. Great.
Right, yeah.
Danny just wants him in Illuminati. That's it.
Oh, give me an Illuminati.
Danny, oh, I got so mad when Stark died. I was like, no. I need the Illuminati. I've been praying for the Illuminati.
You can still get there.
I just held off for a few more years and just did it right. Yeah, it sucks.
I think the one I'm least excited for is the Eternals because I don't know jack about that and I don't know what they're going to do with it. I think the one I'm most...
What if they put Keanu in it, though?
He's so hot right now. Everything he touches turns to gold. I think the one I'm most excited for is... Oddly enough, Shang-Chi. And the only reason I'm excited for Shang-Chi is because the Mandarin is in it, and I want the real Mandarin. I want the badass Mandarin. I want the Mandarin with the 10 rings. I don't want Sir Ben Kingsley with the weird accent. No, none of that bullshit. Give me the real Fear of God Mandarin.
The first hour of Iron Man 3, I was like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. And then, we know how that went.
I will never forgive Shane Black. And then I gave him more money to see Predator. And I was like, this guy is the worst. I thought Michael Bay was the worst at taking my money. Apparently, Shane Black is good at it, too.
Wow, so you said Shang-Chi over Black Panther, too. I mean, Black Panther is the movie that made Danny finally get a camera just so he could get on camera and do this. That's the whole reason he got a camera, because of Black Panther. So I thought Black Panther, too, for sure.
The only reason I put Shang-Chi over Black Panther is just because there's no Killmonger. And I love me some Michael B. Jordan. I thought he was great.
Either. Yeah.
I don't know who the villain's going to be. And
gotta be M'Baka, right? If they're not doing Namor,
it's To me, there's only two ways you go. You either go Doctor Doom, which is a stretch, or you go Namor. There's because you killed off Black Panther.
Airways, Doctor Doom.
No, but hold on, time out. Here's how I pictured Doctor Doom working for a Black Panther sequel. Now that you know he's part of the UN, right? You have them tell them that there is a country that governs itself. And you've been trying to, you know, have peace negotiations, but you can't get in touch. So T'Challa offers to go there. And then all hell breaks loose. Once he gets over there, and then it's just Doctor Doom versus T'Challa. I think that'd be a great box office, especially if you can bring in someone like what's his name? Played Magneto.
Michael Fassbender. Ben Mendelsohn, where no matter what role he's in, I'm like, yeah, good, perfect. You can't make him James Bond, then I'm okay. You put him in MCU somewhere. And Dr. Doom, I'd be all over him as Victor Von Doom. Hell yes. Unless they go really stupid, make like Victoria Von Doom or something. You don't put
No, Doom is Doom. There is one Doom. That is it.
So that is
that's it.
Forward idea that Danny is against. Don't change no Dr. Doom.
Victor Von Doom. He's the perfect character in all the ways. You don't need to change a damn thing about him. Especially, like, the one thing I could never understand about the Fantastic Four movies is how they could screw up the costume so bad. both all three movies just so bad.
I remember when they were making the new Fantastic Four, and we were both like, "Well, you know, it can't be worse than the last Victor Von Doom." And Josh Trank was like, "Hold my beer." Yeah,
he's the worst.
They made a worse Victor Von Doom in that movie.
I will still defend that first Fantastic Four movie.
I love Julian McCoy. I was really big into that TV show. I loved that casting. I thought he was a great pick. Costume was pretty bad, though.
No, I agree on that. I just thought his acting as Doom was good. I don't think his acting is what made that
movie sunk that dude's career. He was like up for James Bond, and that movie sunk his career, man.
Yeah, Nip and Tuck was riding high off that. Then right into Fantastic Four, and then that was it.
Yeah. Shame. That was it. For shame. All right, we're just rambling on now. So, hey, Phase 3, all done. You know, just like we thought when they first put out Iron Man all those years ago, we knew that we'd be here 23 movies later talking about this stuff, right? We knew it.
We knew it.
So, I will not lie. My optimism for Phase 4, pretty low. I knew that was going to happen because, you know, you just took away my favorite in Iron Man. I still got Spider-Man, so that's cool. But besides Guardians, there's nothing I'm really counting down to.
As Guardians.
Yes, as Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that
James Gunn is going to fist fight you guys. He said, stop calling it as Guardians.
I saw.
It is Guardians.
That's just perfect. I do want Thor to be in it because, I don't know. All my favorite parts of Infinity War was Thor with the Guardians. I thought that was the best stuff.
See, I will say the most difficult thing Feige has done by saying that he's going to kind of get away from every movie depending on each other and it's going to stand out is that now that we're 23 movies in, we only want more team-up movies. Right. So you telling me you're going to do more solo movies, we're kind of like, all right, well, not everyone needs three. So like, if we can agree on that, you can do solo movies, but we need another Avengers movie. That's why when everyone's like, it's going to be a long time, and I'm like, the hell? No, it's not. If they're smart, give me one in the next 3 or 4 years.
You know what I'm okay with?
Don't need to wait 10 years.
Actually phasing out the Avengers and making X-Men like the new Avengers. That's what I'm in favor of. But because I don't care about the Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange-led Avengers. I don't care about that. I'm not here for that.
I'm going to be honest with you. The likelihood of that is slim, unless you'll know if the X-Men are going to be the new face of the MCU based off the castings. Because think about the castings that we have now with the current Avengers. Chadwick, Chris Hemsworth, Tom Holland, Brie Larson, Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, these are huge names in acting right now. So if you're telling me the X-Men are going to replace these names, you're going to have like Tom Hardy as your Wolverine. You're going to have like David Montgomery as your Cyclops. Like, you're going to have to go huge names. You're going to have Rebecca Ferguson as your Jean Grey. Like, you're going to have to go huge names.
You just put a nipple card on that one. Hell yes. It's perfect. Hell yes.
Wait, which one? Oh, man. Was it Dacre Montgomery? Rebecca was it that? Ferguson,
Jean Grey. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I love that. Damn, yeah, I didn't even think about that. It's gonna be hard to replace McAvoy in Fassbender. I'm just letting you know.
You have to figure out how to get Magneto in the universe in the first place. He's like 150 years old at this point.
That's what we said. You know, you can't use Magneto unless you're going to mess around with time travel. Because if he's not a Holocaust survivor, I don't think his character is very sympathetic, like at all.
The character just doesn't work.
You can't modernize Magneto. It does not work. So yeah, they're gonna have to mess around with time or something for sure. Or he's just going to cast someone that's like 120.
He's Earth 833 Magneto. He just comes through a wormhole.
At this point, you could just keep having Ian McKellen play him, I guess. He'll be about the right age.
He'd be fine doing it, too. That's the funny part. He'd be like, yeah, sure, why not?
Dude, he still wants to play Gandalf in that Lord of the Rings series. And I'm like, let him.
Right. Yeah, he's a man.
Does he know? All right, guys. Well, hey, this was a fun talk, and I'm sure we could keep talking for a while. And now I'm like, damn, now I want a fan cast X-Men episode. That's what I want to do, because right now I've said my optimism, not really my optimism, as much as I know that they're going to put out good movies. At this point, it's an easy bet to say that the movies are going to be at least good, right? We're going to have a good time with them. I'm like, I was meant on Captain Marvel, but I still had a good time. You know, I mean, I think that's their formula. So I'm not worried about that. I'm saying my excitement level. Guardians, yes. And then after that, it's like, I'll just wait for X-Men to get like super excited. So who knows? Maybe Shang-Chi or the Eternals blows my mind. I remember when I said I was least excited about Guardians of the Galaxy, and now it's my favorite. So we'll see, right?
Yeah. They took a big chance on that one. No one knew those characters, and then no one really knew the cast.
This is going to be Marvel's first bomb. Yeah, I remember that. I remember those talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turned out to be better than Batman v Superman. Weird. Weird.
I'll never utter those words.
Don't release the Snyder Cut. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. We will talk to you about Comic-Con soon.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.